That's right. They pay us the big bucks for this. Okay. So today we start the third parak of Elul, of school in Elul Treifos, mainly talking about treifos or injuries that are in an animal. And those injuries are considered life-threatening, or according to some were once considered life-threatening, and therefore the animal is not kosher. But today's daf, before we start, today's daf is sponsored by Sherry and Beryl Daskal, the Zecher Nishmas, Yentl Bas Harav Shraga Shmuel, whose yahrzeit will be later on this week. Neshama should have an aliyah. So let's dig in. The Mishnah will begin. Everyone has their pictures and everything like that. The Mishnah is going to begin discussing. The Mishnah is going to count 18 treifos. Old question to do about how many treifos there are. The Rambam counts, I think, 70 treifos. Chinuch counts 72. Obviously, you have like Avos and Toldos. Things are like subcategories of others. But let's start. Elu hatreifos. So these, I have the book over here. These are considered the treifos. Number one, elu hatreifos, the vehema. We're talking about treifos that are an animal, not by verb, but an animal. Nikuvas haveshes. So that would be a puncture in the esophagus. Upsukas hagargeris, and a split in the windpipe. That's I think one or two. Number three, nikev krum shel moach. It seems like there's this sort of film around the brain, inside the skull, the membrane has this krum, and it got hole in it, got punctured. Nikev halev lebeis chalalo. So the heart got punctured, it seems to be all the way through. Right, just beis chalalo. The imlohi gia lechalal katani seifa kikshera. It has to be a puncture through and through the heart, not just a surface wound. The puncture has to go all the way through to the whole heart. Next one is nishbara hashidra v'nifsa kachutshala. So it seems to be the same thing. It's that the spine was crushed so that the spinal cord was severed. Rashi says nishbara hashidra v'nifsa kachut is chadhi. That's one. That's all one. V'tarfas didei mishum chutu, and the reason why it becomes a treifa is because the spinal cord is severed. V'nishbara hashidra dekatani. Why did it say that the spine was crushed? Orcha demilcha nakat. That's basically just derech agav. The psikas hachut al yedei shivuyah shidrahi, because the spinal cord is going to be severed when the spine gets crushed. That's how it works. Okay, that's next one. Nesuk hachutshul. If you remember, we'll have a test tomorrow on all of them. Next one is nital hakaved, that the liver is removed. So there's no bin lo nishtayeh menukum. The liver is completely removed. There's nothing left. You kind of need the liver for the bile, which is stored in the gallbladder. And the bile is used in the small intestine to aid digestion. But so if the nital is the kaveh, right, from the doctors, correct me if I'm wrong.
You can't live without
liver. You can't live without liver.
So it's not a trait, it's dead.
Right, I know. So there's this famous, a famous tshuva that the Rebbe Raza quoted last time around about the Chacham Tzvi, where a woman came to her and she shechted the chicken, and there's no heart. Is it straight for not? But the animal is walking around. They open it up and there's no heart.
It's
tin man. So Chacham Tzvi says it's impossible. It's just impossible. Obviously there was a heart, and by the time you got to it, either maybe the cat came and ate it, or the dog ate my homework. The cat ate it. Something happened to the heart. It can't be. So I guess. So if the liver is taken away, it's not, you know, the animal's not walking around. It's dead.
Right.
Okay.
So you check for all these things.
I don't know about the checking. I'm not sure.
How are you finding these things?
So you must have figured out, or maybe know beforehand. I don't know if what you're supposed to the chatila check. I don't know. I didn't get to there yet. Okay. Next is v'hareya shenikva. So there's a puncture in the lung. O shechasra, or I guess something's missing from the lung. O shechasra. Rabbi Shimon Omer at shetinakev lebeis hasimponos. He says that the puncture must reach the main bronchi. I guess there are different bronchi that come off on the lung. It has to reach the main bronchi. He says over here that the beis hasimponos are the largest tubes in the lungs, and serve to transport air from the carna, from the trachea, to the smaller simponote, to the bronchi. Okay? And Rashi has an interesting, Rashi says, simponotes, he says, where does he say? Kankanot ketanot hamipashot betoch hareya shahadam novebo. That there's blood in there, but there's no blood really in the lungs in there. So it could be, he quotes over here, He said, why would Rashi define them as structures containing blood? It made me know that when dissecting the lungs of slaughtered animals, one often finds a collection of blood in the bronchi, which undoubtedly entered the vein therein via the slit made in the trachea during shechita. So it's not, maybe he says it right. Comes in afterwards, but you're not going to have blood in the lungs. I'm assuming that that's not good for the person, if you or the animal, if you have blood in the lungs. Yeah, okay. Right. Next one is, we said, Nikva Hakeva. Next one is Nikva Hakeva, which is the one of the stomachs. It's called the abomasum. So they always talk about the cows, these ruminants, have four stomachs, which allows it to digest certain things that we cannot digest, including grasses and things like that. It allows it to break them down. They have four stomachs. One of them is going to be the keva. Right? The keva is also known as the maw. It is the fourth stomach of the ruminant. Right? Ruminants, with maligera, they possess four separate stomachs, an arrangement that allows them to break down cellulose. They can thus subsist mainly on grass or other foods that humans, with a single stomach, find totally indigestible. The first stomach partially digests the cellulose and prepares it for the abomasum. Okay, seems to be the cable. Next one is nikva hamara, which means the gallbladder. It's the gallbladder was punctured. Nikvu hadakim. So nikvu hadakim is the small intestine. Okay, so it says that the small intestine are punctured, or hakeres hapanimis, or the inner rumen. That's known as the paunch, which is the first of the ruminant's four stomachs. It's really, really large. According to the Sefer here, it can hold as much as 160 liters. As the animal eats, it's pretty big, no? As the animal eats, food goes to the rumen and remains there, sometimes for a day. The stomach has no digestive juices, rather it has bacteria that causes the grass to rot and decay, thereby preparing it for further digestion. So that's the big stomach. Not sure why it goes out of order, but that's first, something that have been listed first. Okay. Nikvu hadakim, hakerem.
Skips the gallbladder.
Yeah, nikvu hakerem hapenimis, it's the inner rumen, or hakerem hapenisha nikva, it gets punctured, osha nikra rov hachitzona, or that most of it on the outside is punctured. I guess because what happens is it's connected to all the other stomachs. So the puncture has to be facing the outside, but the puncture is facing inside the other stomachs, so it doesn't cause a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Hagdola tefach v'hakatana biruba. So he says it depends on the animal. If you're talking about a big animal, like an ox, then it has to be ripped, I guess, a tefach. That, but by a smaller animal, as long as it's rove we also. Okay. The next one is the hemseis ubeis hakosos shenikvu lachutz. The hemseis is the omasim, and the base hakosis is the reticulum. Those are the two of the four stomachs as well. They're also connected. Their puncture has to be from the outside, but the puncture is the inside wall that connects the two. That's not a problem. I guess maybe this just helps the stuff move in. I don't know. But they say from the that's so we have mentioned all four stomachs. The next one is nafla min hagag. If it fell off the roof. The Rashi says nafla min hagag. If you look at the last Rashi in the short lines. It goes into the long lines. Nafla min hagag, v'shachta, and you shechted it miyad right away. Treifa. So if it falls off the roof, right? So we're concerned about internal injuries. So you have to wait. And if you wait, nafla min hagag. Maybe shachta miyad, v'shachta miyad treifa. Apa pisha ain't sheven nirabo. Even though you don't see anything that's broken, choshishin shenitz rasku. In this parkour, maybe something inside, internal injuries, but to worry about. The ain tam, here's an important Rashi. The ain tam betrefus, there's no reasoning necessarily by the trefus. You can't figure all out by reason because some are included that don't seem like trefus, some that are excluded that do seem like trefus, right? It's all halach l'moshe misinai. Ubi Gemara Amar, and the Gemara says, when it comes to this nafal min hagag, im shoha samay eis le'eish v'shach l'kshira afa bishlo amda. It's Rashi's proof that this is just a halacha moshinai because this animal fell off the roof, and it can't stand up, so it's clearly looks like it's injured, but it survives for 24 hours. Then you can check it, and it would be considered a treifa. Okay, that's the fell off the roof. The next one is.
So if you dissect after it falls off and you shut the miyad and you dissect and find everything intact, it's still no good.
Seems to be what Rashi's saying.
Right?
That's what seems to be what Rashi says.
To be counterintuitive.
Yeah, that's why Rashi says, "Ain't time betrayfus Shalach l'moshe m'sinayim. So that's going to answer many of your questions. Okay? Okay. I'm making a footnote, and when every time you ask the question, I'm just going to point to it. Okay?
Does falling off a roof include falling into a bowl?
I probably depends on how high it is. I don't know. Right now, I'm just looking what the Mishnah says. So shenach l'minagag. The next one is, maybe this is it, nishtabru rov tzeloseha. If most, seems to be that if most of its, right, if most of its bones its ribs are broken, I guess even if it doesn't fall. Rashi says, below shum the feet l'treifa. Right, the Gemara Mefarish, my rov, what's rov? The next one is the interesting one. They sent the email about a question by someone whose initials were MF, I don't know who that could possibly be, who sent to Rabbi Slifkin 7.5 years ago, and he gave an answer. I'm not sure, MF. My mother's name is Miriam, so maybe it was her. Ujerusas Hazev, right? And the clawing, it seems to be the clawing of a wolf. The clawing of the wolf, as Rashi says,
Ujerusas
Hazev, Shehika Bitsor Tsipornav, it clawed, Umatil Bo Eres Vesofa Bedaka, and it, according to Rashi, it puts in poison into the smaller animals. But if it's a big animal, the poison in the claws of the wolf are not enough to
bacteria.
So that's what he says. It's basically bacteria. But why is it bacteria? So Slifkin in his book here, and I think he quotes here also. If you go in here, it's no, but he's not worried about the mauling, right? He's not worried about the mauling.
It's not the mauling; it's the poison. But how long does that take to have its effect?
So I don't know. To Gemara, he says over here, he quotes from Ari Carmel, who was a disciple of Rav Dessler. He says as follows: I've seen fit to note here that what I heard explicitly from Rav Dessler, when he asked about certain laws, which for the reasons that have been given for them are inconsistent with the reality determined by scientists of later generations, and they are now in the category of that which the Talmud asks in many places, but surely we see that this is not so. He gives three examples. Example number one was that you can kill a louse on Shabbos, because the louse apparently doesn't spontaneously regenerate, the kingdom on Shabbos. Also this idea that you only need the matzahs with water that was left in a vessel overnight. The reason, according to several Rishonim, is that at night the sun passes beneath the earth and it heats up the springs, Mayim Shalanu. And the third thing that Rav Dessler spoke about was the drusa, this mauling that renders a prey animal non-kosher with a cat and not a dog. It's a wolf with a cat and not a dog. And the Talmud gives a reason that the cat exudes poison from its claws. So he says over here, it's also quoted in this page, on this book. Yeah, this book. Right, on page. Right, on page 180. Right, you see it on page 180. Right, I gave you the thing. That was before he printed the book. So he says, the poison of which the sages spoke is poisonous matter which accumulates under the cat's claws from rotting remnants of flesh that remain from earlier prey. Right, note that a cat's claws differ to a dog's claws and that a cat's claws are composed of two sections. And when a cat swipes in order to kill, it extends its claws to penetrate into the flesh. And when it withdraws them, some of the poisonous matter remains to cause damage. All the particulars of this law are thereby explained, for we find drusa is only with the front legs, drusa is only with the claws, but not the teeth. Drusa is only done with intentionally. So this is why, you see that in Rashi and Daf Nunbeis. So this is basically that there's just dirt inside. It's bacterial infections, pretty much, which also make a difference between a large animal and a small animal. Maybe the smaller animal can't fight off the infection, and a large animal or animal can.
You also have it in the teeth also, in the mouth.
Now he says not, because the cat, that's why it's the Jerusa, they're talking about the animals that kill their prey specifically with their claws, which becomes another problem with the wolf, because it seems to be that the wolf kills with the teeth more than the cat. But the idea being here is that even if we don't find it appropriate, he says that the point being is that it's not the reason that causes the law. There's the halacha, which is passed down, and the halacha draws out a reason. Sometimes the reason that they give works all the way through. Sometimes it's based on the science that they had then. Sometimes that may not even be the reason. So that's why the machlokas is like: can you kill the louse on Shabbos now, knowing that there's no such thing as spontaneous generation? So Slifkin quotes a lot of people say no. I mean, the fact that that's what the Gemara said, that might just been the revealed reason, but there could be other reasons. Try not to change the halacha, especially if it's stated explicitly in the Gemara and the Rishonim.
Was the rabies endemic in those times?
Sorry?
Was rabies endemic in those times?
I have absolutely no idea. I don't know.
That's a bite, it's in the mouth.
Right, I don't know. When I talk
from the mouth, yeah, you're right.
I have no idea.
And also, it's Rashi says his blood in the shrinking.
Right, so they gave another answer. Because at least the blood in the lungs, you can find it, because when you shaft, it says it comes in through. Okay, fine. So that was Jerusa Sazev. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, right, that's what he said now, Jerusa Sazev Vidaka, the Jerusa Ari Begasa. You need the Zev only works, the wolf, I guess, only works by a small animal, because then I guess the poison can impact. But by a large animal, it would be the Drusus Ari. It would have to be the larger attack animal, which would be the lion. Okay. Now, the Gemara makes another distinction regarding birds, because we just made a distinction between large animals and small animals. So the Gemara here says, Jerusas Hanates, Be'ov Hadak. So I think that's a hawk. I'm not sure how we translate it. Jerusas Hanates.
It's translated as
the nates. Okay. The juices of a nate. Okay. It's a small one, so that can kill, I guess, cause a traver to a smaller bird. But juices hagas, which
it's
is
a dove. No, sorry.
Right. Juices hagas, which is an even a larger predatory bird, that can even be ophagas. That can even cause a traver for a larger. Then the Mishnah adds zehaklau. This is the rule. Anytime Misha says cloud, the Bavli always asks, what's that coming to include? Yerushalmi also often says it's just as a summary, but for the Bavli it's coming to include something. Zeh cloud, kol she'ein kamo achaya, trefa. Any type of injury that an animal gets that typically it won't survive, now how long if it typically will survive, that's considered a trefa. Okay? So we just did the Mishnah in 35 minutes. Amar of Shimon ben Lakish. Shimon Malakas says, Remez l'treifa min a Torah minayin. Where do we have a hint to the concept of treifa in the Torah? Mara says, minayin? We're looking for it. What do you mean? Pasuk says, Ubasar basada treifa lo sochelu. Can't eat a treifa. So Mara says, no. Ella, remez l'treifa she'ein achayim min a Torah minayin. How do we know that the treifa is not going to live? So Mara quotes, and this is the same pasuk that we had a few days ago when we talked about the Mesukenes. And Tosfos asked, how can we learn from Mesukenes? We learn from Trefa. And Tosfos answered, because Mesukenes, it wasn't the Maskana. The Maskana for what the Pasuk means is over here. He says, Remez l'treifa she'ein achayim min a Torah minayin. So we didn't get to it yet. The Katani Sefer, because the Sefer says, Zeh klal kol she'ein kamo achaya treifa, mechlal treifa in achaya min olan. The Mishnah said that the rule is that anything that won't survive is considered a treifa. So how do we know that idea? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, right, it was Vizos Hachaya Asher Tochlu. This is the animal, or this is the live animal that you will eat. Chaya Echol, something that is want to live, will live, you can eat. She'ein Achaya Lo Techol, but if it will not live, then you can eat it. U'michlau, the Trefa Lo Chaya. So we see from here that a Trefa is something that doesn't eat, that doesn't live, because you're not allowed to eat it. Right, it won't survive, since you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's not going to survive. Okay. But, okay, the problem is there's a Gemara later on that says a trefa can live. It's just these injuries, lachma v'shina, we have to get to it. How does he, know that the trefa, I guess, can live? So Nafkale, he learns it out, mizos hachaya asher tochlu. Right, he says, zos hachaya echol, chaya acheres lo techol. U'michlau de trefa chaya. Not sure. I don't know. He says, he's learning out from the word zos. Zos means this one as opposed to something else. So zosachaya means stamachaya, you can, this type of live animal you can eat, but another type of live animal you can't eat, and that would be a trefa. I think that's what the drush is. I'm not exactly sure. I don't understand the drush. Okay, the idah. So the one who says that a trefa cannot survive, so therefore he doesn't darshan the zos that way. Hi zos my ovile. What does he do with the word zos? So he violated the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, zos achai sher tochlu, milamet shetofas HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikol min v'min, v'hera lo Moshe v'armalo, zos achol v'zos lo techol. Zos achai sher tochlu is another one of those times where Hashem said to Moshe, he pointed it out. He had the picture book. He gave Moshe the picture book, or maybe bored all the animals and said, you can eat this one, you can't eat this one. So Tosfos asks, wait a second, don't we have a bunch of times where Moshe didn't know what he was, Gemara says, right, it's a Gemara Menachos, it's a Medrash, right, V'had lo chashiv le bekometz rabba, with last Tosos, Gabi shlosh dvarim, shenikasha Moshe, Right? The Gemara there says that there were three things that Moshe didn't understand, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him. Number one was the menorah, Rosh Chodesh, Ushratzim, Vilo Chashiv Nami, and this is not counted. This is, he's pointing out, why isn't this counted? And the Lo Chashiv Nami had to be Medrash, Kimin Matveya Esher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Dixiv Zayitnu. We have also by the Chatzi Shekel. It says Zayitnu, the Medrash says, and the Moshe Hashem pointed out. So instead of the three things, there should be at least be five things that are listed. So Tosfos gives an answer. He says, Shema lo chashiv elamidei dinit kasher. Maybe these only things I just Pasha didn't understand. Aval hani afo pisha herau lo nit kasher behen. He didn't. It's not like couldn't fathom what it was. Ela shetama ala davar. He just had a question about how it would work, right? Like my yuchal adam mitein kofer nasho. How can a person give money and then redeem himself? So herakosh baruch lavchin hetev lo deal the Yisrael v'chein hacha. Here also, maybe he was just shown, Moshe understood, there are some you can't eat, some you can't eat. But he has to now teach B'nai Yisrael. Much easier to teach him. We're mainly visual learners. There go the picture books. So we're all visual learners. So he showed it to him, which one is which one is that. The other three, he probably didn't understand how it works. He didn't know what the menorah would look like. He didn't know what Rosh Chodesh was. He didn't know what the other one was the Shratzim. Here, he understood it, he just needed some more information, I guess, to be able to teach it over.
Right. It seems to be animals and Shratzim.
I don't know. I'm just reading Tosos.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You think he showed him a koi?
I don't know. It depends. It depends how you hold what a koi is.
I'm saying.
Right, right. What's a koi? That's a machlokas too. Okay, next. Fine. V'idach, now the one who learned Zos to tell me that a treifa can live, nami mi boili lechatana be rishmal. He also needs this limit of Tanu Bei Rishmal that Hashem showed Moshe each of the animals. So what is so what's going on? He says, no, in Akhanami, you're right. He learned Vizos, he learns like the other Mandamar, says that's what Hashem showed Moshe the animals. But how does he know that the Treifa is Chaya? Ela Treifa Shechaya Minolei, not Le Me'idach Tanu Bei Rishmal. He learned it from another statement of the Brises of the Mishmeres Rabbi Shmal. The Tanu Bei Rabbi Shmal, it says that this is at the end of the Parsha of the Behemoth Taharos. Bein hachaya ha-ne'acheles, or bein hachaya asher lo se'achel. You have to distinguish between that live animals that you eat and the live animals that you don't eat. Elu shmone esrei trefos shenemru l'moshe mi-sinai. Not necessarily straight from the pasuk, but this mandama says, this pasuk is a hint, I guess, to the 18 trefos that were taught halach l'moshe mi-sinai. Now the Gemara goes on, what do you mean 18? There are more than 18. So he says the Suleka that what they're only 18. If you look in the last line of Rashi, she wants to say Treifos Lav Mikra Kamishtamayi. He doesn't learn it out from a pasuk that they're 18. Ela Halach L'Moshe Mishinayin. Just Halach L'Moshe Mishinayin. So he says the Suleka they're only 18. Va'ika Baskar V'Shev Shmaisa. What's Baskar Shmaisa? Those are Rashi Tevos. They Sam of Gimel Reish. There's four more that are from that Rashi Tevos. And Shev Shmaisa are seven more that were learned out B'Pir Shmua from the Amoraim. Right? Based on the, I wonder how the Gemara must have gotten it from the Sefer. No, you think about it? Another way around. Okay. So Bishlama. So they're 18. But the problem is also we have 18 in our Mishnah also. So the Gemara says Bishlama L'Tana Didan. According to our Mishnah, according to the author of our Mishnah, there's no problem. The Tana Udashayir. So our mission doesn't say these are the only 18. It says that there's more, right? And that and he listed 18, and then there are additionals that he included in the rule at the end, right? He says Bishma Tandidan, the Tana Tana Udashayir, Asir B'Zeklal. Whatever he left out, that's going to be included in the Zeklal at the end of the Mishnah. So not the problem. Ela Tanabei Rishmal. But according to Tanabei Rishmal, they just said there are 18 Shreifos learned out Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Which means there are 18 treifos learned out from Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but we know that there are more, and you only said 18. El Tana Bei Rabbi Shmuel, the Amar Shmonesrei treifos v'su leka. There are no more b'ha'ika, but there are, and now we're going to go through those other treifos. So Gemara says number one is behema shenetchu ragleha min ha'arkuva. So this seems to be the hind legs, right? The hind legs fall off to break away from the thigh, and it seems to be they broke the bone. Ulama, right? So behema shenechtu raglela min arkuva ulamala. Right? What does it say? Wait, the arkuva is the knee, It's the joint between the femur. So if the animal whose leg was severed from the knee upward, so that's going to make it into a trepha. So that's the, right, we're trying to do baskar. So that's the base. So you have a problem. Why is we have another one. So the Gemara answers, no, Savala, because that kind of be Rishmol holds, Savala Karabishim ben Elazar, the Amar Yecholihi Likavos Vilichyos. What you can do is you can cauterize it, he says. You can cauterize it, and then you can live. Right? So you burn it, says he cauterizes it versus the process of burning the hot iron, so as to destroy dead tissue, which can prevent the spread of infection and seal the blood vessels. Fine. So he says over here, it's interesting, he says, today, of course, operations are routinely performed where the leg is severed, and yet the patient lives. How can this be reconciled with the opinion of this time that rules that it's a trepha? So he quotes the Chazon Ish, who suggests that the rule that a trepha animal die within a year is simply due to the lack of our ability to heal it. Inherently, however, trephas could be healed. In fact, all injuries and illnesses are potentially curable. We just are not always privy to the necessary potion or process. This is because, in accordance with the wisdom of the divine providence, the angel of death is provided with an arsenal of weapons. So accordingly, the set of injuries that render an animal trepha is defined, this is the Chazon Ish, is defined as those injuries that were incurable at the time of the sealing of the Gemara, in the era of Ravina and Ravashi. So thereafter, the ability of modern medicine to cure the injured animal does not contradict its trepha status. See Rambam, Hilchos Shchita, Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel. So again, it could be, according to this, that the trephas were sort of set. We may be able now to figure certain things out. Doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. Okay, so that was the base to answer that. So he says, Savalak of Shim and Elazar, Dharm Yecholi Lekavos, Vilichios. But so the Gemara says, wait a second, no. So that should be a reason why, you would think that would be a reason why it doesn't, not listed, included in the 18. But he says, no, Afal Gav, Yecholi Kavos, Vilichios, Leman Ka'omar, Letanabe Rabbi Shmal, Tanabe Rabbi Shmal, Trefa Chayes Firole. So what did it can survive? According to Tanabe Rabbi Shmal, Tanabe Rabbi Shmal was the one who held that a Trefa is a Chaya, even if it's alive. So you said the whole thing here, oh, you're worried about the leg was severed from the knee upward, oh, we can make it survive. Tanabe Rabbi Shmal doesn't need it to survive, it's still a Trefa. So that can't be what's the answer? Ela Savalak Rabbi Shum Ben Elazar, the Amr Cherihi. No, the Tanabe Rabbi Shmal holds that an animal whose leg was severed from the knee upward is not a trefa. He says that's kosher. It's a kosher animal, and you're good to go. So that's why.
The fact that the healing doesn't have that doesn't matter is because later when we discuss the adhesions on the lung, adhesions are holes that heal, and right. Yet the trefas, many of them.
Well, the adhesions make it trefa. They make it
trefa. That's when you shut the lungs.
I thought that's because of the. That's the glot.
What?
I think that's the glot, but it goes on to the same thing. I hear you. I think adhesions is more. It's more to make it smooth with the glot. Okay. So the Gemara says.
What's raised that breaks its leg? A lot of times they euthanize it.
A lot of times they do. Right.
Depends on the animal.
Depends on the animal.
Yeah, the animal's amazing.
Yeah, they bring him to the barn, and he can live out his life in retirement. Right. But you have 18, but there's also another one called the chisaron b'shidra, which is a deficiency in the spinal column. And how much? Kami chisaron, ditnan, the Mishnah Olos says, it's talking about Olos, but we're talking about Tumas Hames, it says, kama chisaron b'shidra. We're talking about how many misfire, we don't want certain limbs are metame, even if you don't have the full body. So if you have a spinal column, but it's missing, with that can be metame with OL, beshame om shtei chulios, so is it going to be tumba base if it's missing two chulios or missing one chulios? That's a machlokas b'shame se'ol. It's an important Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, v'chein l'treifa. So too when it comes to treifa. When it comes to treifa, according to Beis Shammai, when is it considered a treifa if it's missing two of the spinal column, two vertebrae, I guess? And according to Beis Shammai, if you're missing one vertebrae. You see, there's another missing a vertebrae is also going to be considered a treifa. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go as follows. Hebseis ubeis hakosos de chashatul hu betarte chashvinuhu bechada v'apechada v'alichada. So the hemseis and the beis hakosos, which were the two of the stomachs that are connected to each other, the Mishnah or the 18 that the Tanabe Yisrael count, don't count them as two, count them as one. Take out one and put in now the case of the missing vertebrae. So now I'm back to the 18. That's how you count. Mar says okay, va'ika gluta. Yeah, Guda means it's skinned, right? It's flayed. The animal is flayed. So you know, so that should be included. Rav Meir, the machshir. Rav Meir says that the gluda is not considered a treifa. You know, therefore, it's not counted. Va'ika charusa. So I think charusa, it should be a ches, but we're talking about scar. It's probably the resh, the second letter. Va'ika charusa. Charusa, I think, means that it has the lung dried out. Right? It's shriveled out the lung. So he says, the Gemara says, okay, why? So now it's the problem of the charusa. So Gemara then says, no, the mara, which is the gallbladder, man katanila, who holds that? That's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The missing gallbladder that makes the trade, that's only according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The upik mara, the ayal charusa. So this time, we'll take out the mara and put in the charusa. I still have my 18. So I took care of the 4 of Baskar, I took care of that. But now the Gemara says, okay, va'ika shev shmaitasa. I have the 7 learnings that I've heard from the Amoraim that are 7 more trefos. Why are those not counted by Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael? The Amar Rav Masna says, habuka the atma de shaf mi duchte. I think it means a dislocated hip. I don't know how he says it. I'm trying to figure it out. What? Sounds like a dislocated hip. All right, it's a trefa. That's number 1. Number 2 was Amar Rachish bar Papa Mishmei Derav, laksa b'chulya achas trefa. If one kidney, right? I think if one kidney seems to be damaged, I don't know, which is interesting because people do kidney donations. So I don't know. It says one kidney is damaged. Utsnan, another, that's number 2. Number 3, Utsnan, nital hatchol kashera. He says if the spleen is completely removed, it's kosher. V'amar avira mishmei derav, v'lo shano ele binital, aval nika of trefa. And if the spleen is removed, it's okay. But if the spleen is punctured, then it becomes a trefa. I don't know, is the spleen necessary for life? I don't think so. They remove the spleen a lot when you have these injuries. I guess he's saying if they remove it, it's fine. But if it's leaking stuff, maybe it's leaking stuff into other organs, and that might cause a problem. So that was number three.
Just on the dislocated thighs, it's saying that it's only trefa if the sinew itself is broken.
That's what he says. Who's he quote for that?
That's Rashi.
Rashi quotes it? Okay, perfect. Okay. Number 4 is Amar Rabba bar Rav Chana Amar Shmuel, Simonim shenidalglu beruban trefa. It's a simonim, the Chana Neveshas get detached from their spot. So speaking of Machlokas, Rashi Tosas, Rashi didn't say that they get detached from the spot. Tosas brings down Rabbeinu Chananel, he says that they were separated from each other, like they themselves, they separated from each other. But Amar Rabba bar Shila. That's number 4. Number 5 is Amar Rav Bar Shila, Amar Rav Masta, Amar Shmuel, Ne'ekara Tzela Me'ikara Trefa. If one rib is removed from the vertebrae, I think the whole rib is removed. Not that it's broken, it's all removed. Well, it's uprooted, okay. Number 6 is V'gulgola Shenech B'sa Beruba. A skull, it seems that, and that doesn't crush. If you look at Rashi says, this is like 5 or 6 lines before they get really wide. He says, Shehuksa Makos Rabos. You got smacked in the head a full time. It doesn't break. It seems like it's concussed. Like an animal that's concussed. Okay. Above, right? Yeah, it seems like it. Shehuka makos rabos. Right? Imruba nechbos atrefa. I guess you have these brain injuries. Okay? Anyway, that was number 6. Number 7 is basar hachofa es rov hakerem berubo trefa. It seems to be if the flesh that covers this kerem, which is one of the stomachs, if it gets ripped, but the majority of it gets ripped, that's also. Point being is I have 7 more. You only had 18, I have 7 more. So what do I do? So the Gemara says, okay, Nikuve Timanya Havu. Look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives 8 cases of punctures. It does, right? Chashvinu B'chad. Let's just say punctures. Count this time, David Shaw, we'll count that as 1. Va'apik Sheva Ayu Shev. Take out 7, and then put these 7 in, I'm back to the 18. In other words, we're trying to figure out the count. One says, Ihachi, if that's the case, Psuke Nami Trehavi Chashim Luchade. If you're going to say that, we're talking about like avos, right, just categories. So in the category of punctures, we have one, just make list the category of punctures, so take out, we also, when it comes to the category of severing, there too. Why, when it comes to punctures, we're going to just list the category, when it comes to severing, we're going to actually list them out individually. So if that's the case, if we're only listing out categories, so by severing now, I have 1, and I took out 1, I'm down to 17. I said, I don't know, maybe the difference is because when you have 8 of them, you only have to list 1. When you have 2 of them, maybe you can list both. Okay, it says 8.
Are we to understand that these categories that are brought down by the Amora are also from Moshe at Sinai, or are they some other tradition?
So I don't know what other tradition you would have, but I would say that there are 18. The Halacha Moshe is 18. They hold there are only 18. The Mishnah's list and what combined is more than 18. So they're trying to figure out how he gets the number of 18, right? So Ihachi Psuki Nami Trehavi Chashvin Lechad. He says no. So he said and the Bat Lechada Va'od, and even more so the Rav Avirus made the Rava Nami Nikuvahi, which had. So you, what happened was the Nekuvahs, what you did is you said, oh no, Nekuvahs are prime category, just list one, and then put all these other seven. But of one of these seven cases that you're putting in is a Nekuvah, is a puncture case. So it doesn't really work, because if you're taking out the puncture cases and then leaving one, why are you putting in another puncture case? And also, if you're only talking about head categories, the severing is also a head category, and you have multiple cases of severing. So we have to go back. So we're not just going to drop the seven cases of puncturing and put in seven more cases. So what are we going to do? It says, Ella hanach tarte de apak lo topic. What does that mean? He says there are two. The behema shenechtu raglea vehagluda lo topic. Don't put those in, I guess. Right? What was that? Which one of them? He says, behema shenechtu raglea and the gluda. The gluda was the skinned animal, correct? Right? What was the gluda? Oh, that's in the previous. The behemah shenechtu raglea, the leg got severed.
The leg got severed.
He goes, those two trefos, the behemah shenechtu raglea and the gluda, that you took out from the trefos, don't take them out. Put those back in. Like at some point in time, during our questions over there, I think with the question of Bhaskar, we took in the gluda. We had the glue, then we said, no, glue is not glued because it holds like Rav Meir. And there was another one we said, you take it out. He says, no. So what you do then is those are only taken out according to the other two shitas. Leave them back in, and now we're good, I guess. Right? How does that work now? He says,
same number.
They end up with the same number. How does that work? He says, let's read this Rashi. He says, lo topic, ki the Rabbanan tzvirulei, v'tan d'rei Rabbi Shmuel, v'tan d'rei Shmuel g'holei t'Rabbanan, v'chashiv nikuvei, v'hach d'rav avira b'chad. So the nikuvei, and so you're going to have the Nekuvim and Rav Avira are all going to be in the Nekev. They're all going to be in there. So that you have the main category of punctures. You asked, between Psuke Bechad and the two severs of one. So the problem was that we said, you want to make the categories of punctures. So if you made the categories of the punctures, the problem was then you need to make a category of the severed. So, how does this work?
So, why would that be?
Because we're trying to just make the list.
Severed is a lot worse than punctured.
No,
I would think.
Depends on where, and depends on which limb.
Okay.
Right. So he says, so what happens? These two trefos, the behemoth and nechtu ragla, and the glued and the skin ones, we took them out. Right. When we had Bhaskar, we took them out of the we took them out of the list of 18. He says, don't take them out. Because originally we said the Gemara that it's time to be very small, who hold that you match these two trefos. And that's because we didn't want to make them, Bashkar would make it more than 18. But now that we're counting these other trefos, right, all the punctures are considered one trefa, and all the severings are considered another trefa, so then we're missing two. That's if we're missing two, we just take these two, which we took out before, and you put them back in, and we're back to the 18. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to continue. Also, we'll talk about how to categorize the trefos with Amar Ula, which is on the top line of Mem Gimel Amos. Mem Gimel Amos. Okay, everyone have a good day.
How is the liver removed?
This is why you.